spirit of Delilah. The spirit of Delilah. Church, today, without the moving of the Holy Ghost, without His presence and power upon us, we have absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. We are simply wasting our time. He must, the Holy Ghost must be the power that moves us and stirs our hearts as He stirs the hearts of the sinful world. We've been talking about being Pentecostal, and we are. We need to once again connect to the power of the Holy Spirit. That power wasn't just so we could shout, nor was it just so we could talk in tongues. It was a power to go out and do what God called us to do. First and foremost, He's called every one of us to be witnesses. And He gave us the power to do so. Jesus even said, when the Holy Ghost comes, He'll give you the words to say. We don't have to worry about what to say. He'll give us the words if we'll just walk in His power. Let's read. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came upon her, came into her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money, isn't it? And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. This ain't part of my sermon, but he wasn't very smart, was he? I mean, she asked him directly, what's it going to take to get you in trouble? What does it take to afflict you? And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it is touched by fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hereto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how can you say that you love me when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath shown me all of his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man and caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Father, today again we ask that you would anoint your word with the Holy Ghost. And I know that it is, but I ask God more than that you would anoint this messenger to bring this word in a way that it would be beneficial to the hearer, and that it might cause us to change whatever needs to be changed in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Satan's plan is to rob the church of its power. And he would love to cause us to be ineffective to this fallen world, in this fallen world that we live in. He doesn't want you to do anything for God. You can play church all you want. You can come to church all you want. He don't care that you go to church. He don't care that you raise your hands and worship God. What he's afraid of is if you begin to bend your knee and submit yourself therefore unto God and present your body a living sacrifice and bring yourself into subjection to the will of God and the power of God, then that kind of worries him just a little bit. But when you're just doing what you do and never go no further, Satan's not a least bit worried about that. If he can get our minds off of Jesus Christ and him working in us through the Holy Ghost, he'll stop the move of God in this church, in our lives, and in our community. If he can just get your mind off of Jesus just for a little while, he'll prevent everything that God had planned for us to do. He'll prevent it from ever being accomplished. And I think it's time for this little church. Someone said, "Don't call this a little church." Well, look around, folks. We're less than 60 people. We're a little church. But this little church can wield I remember little David. All he had was a sling and a stone, and he accomplished mighty things in the name of the Lord with mighty armies behind him. He didn't need an army. All he needed was God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all he needed, the power of the Holy Ghost in his life. So Satan has a plan to rob us of the very power and strength that we need to be victorious. It would give him great delight to render us ineffective through different weights and sins. But the Bible says, "Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us." The Bible teaches us plainly that there's no place for sin in a Christian's life. And I know it's pretty difficult sometimes. The flesh rises up, the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and they get in our way pretty often. And that's what happened to Samson. If he had just followed God and fulfilled what God had said in his life, he had never lost his life in an early year. He had went on to great and mighty feats in the name of the Lord. But Samson dallied with sin. He never did totally buy into what God had told him. Never. From the very beginning, Satan's plan was to rob Samson of the very power and strength that he had through Delilah. He had tried it a number of ways over Samson's life, but he finally found a woman that Samson, once again, Samson had a lust problem, by the way. He was a womanizer. He was. He had problems. And he couldn't control his lust. He didn't submit himself unto God, so he couldn't control it. Delilah means to slack off, ease up, or lose intensity. God, Satan placed a woman in his path whose very name meant to slack off. Slack off on the things of God. Samson had started out fairly strong, living a separated life unto God, but it didn't take very long for his passions to take control. And you can read back to the starting of his life back over, I think it's chapter 14, and you'll begin to see how Samson's life progressed and how he never did totally fulfill everything that God had for him to do. He did not judge Israel in a fashion and a form that would bring total deliverance to them from the Philistines. He never did accomplish what God had birthed him for. Listen to me. You have been birthed for something mighty and something good for God. Every single one of you. When you got saved, God birthed into you something that He wanted to use for His glory and to build His kingdom. Every one of us has something into it. And He started out because He never did lead this separated life that He ought to, He never delivered and ruled Israel the way He should have with the complete blessing of the Lord. He took a wife of the Philistines from His own, instead of from His own people. I mean, he just immediately started, I want that woman. I don't want somebody that's an Israelite. I don't want to stay within the rules and the confines of God's word and God's plan. I've got a better way. That woman's pretty. She's caught my eye. It was a terrible thing that he did. He took a wife. If you look at chapter 14, verse 3, and it says he took a wife of the uncircumcised. Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said, go get her for me, because I'm pleased with her. That's what the word of God said. I want that one. She pleases me. And his dad said, wait a minute, that's the wrong way to go, son. Oh, no, Dad, that's the one I want. I don't care if it's out of the will of God. I don't care if I've not prayed about it. I don't care if it's going to mess up my future. I don't care if it's going to stop the plan of God for deliverance for the children of Israel. I want what I want, and I want it now. That was Samson's, that was his goal. Isn't that our goal sometime? I want what I want, and I want it now. It doesn't matter if it messes up God's plan for my life. It doesn't matter that my life might be in shambles before this thing gets over. It doesn't matter that I might lose my very life before it's over. I want what I want. We're just like him. He took a wife with a son. It was a fatal error, and it led to spiritual failure and physical death. He didn't anchor his life in the Word of God. He showed a lack of concern and respect for God's commandments. He specifically ignored God's law concerning mixed marriages. He didn't care. He disregarded his parents' God-given instruction and rejected the godly heritage that he had been given in order to fulfill his own desires. Samson, unlike Moses, who chose to endure the adversity with God's people rather than join the passing pleasure of sin, Samson chose to express his human emotions and desires in ways that did not please God. I see that in the church today. I see it more prevalent every day. I see it in this little church. I see it in large churches. I see it in Christians' lives every day. We desire to do what we want to do when we want to do it. We want to please the flesh. It's the truth. It's the truth. And every one of us deal with it. From up here, back there. Just because I'm 3 foot higher than you today doesn't mean that I walk any higher than you do. I struggle with the things you struggle with. I go through the same things you deal with. I deal with temptation and sin just like you do. I have to crucify my flesh and the affections of my flesh every single day. You'd think after 26 years of full-time ministry, I could get that under control. And I've asked God about that. I said, God, I don't understand this. I've been preaching your word for 26 years, and I'm still struggling with stuff I struggled with 26 years ago. I don't understand it, why the temptation still happens. The Bible said many are the afflictions or the temptations of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all. So there's no excuse to give in to it. God's word's there. God, Samson misused God's gifts and empowerment for personal gain and advantage. He misused God. He misused what God told him to do. He did not value the blessings of the Lord and did not value and honor the Nazarite vow. He didn't care. He didn't care what God had done for him. He didn't care that his position was a position of fame and fortune. If he had just served God, he wasn't in it for that. Shouldn't be in it for that. But you understand, he had a job to do. It was an honorable job. Lead the children of Israel one more time out of bondage. They'd been in bondage 40 years again because of their sin, and God had raised up someone once again to deliver them. He didn't care. He used his fame and fortune for first personal pleasure. Personal pleasure and gain. He had started out living a fairly strong life. I wrote this down, but then I get to thinking about it and you read his story. He didn't do a whole lot for God before he started messing up. He just didn't do a whole lot for God. He was supposed to have been separated, but you know his ministry was only for 20 years. It was only for around 20 years that he actually ministered in misery in Israel. Only about 20 years. He should have not died young. He died young. He should have been ruling Israel until he's probably 100 years old. Leading them into righteousness and godliness. But he didn't. There were no exploits or more mighty victories for Israel for many years. And every time you read about him over there in chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, you find out everything he did was always for personal gain. Every single time, he'd get mad because they did this, so he'd go take care of something. He never did lead the children of Israel into victory over the Philistines for God's sake. He did it for his sake. Read the story. I don't have time to go in it. What happened to him? Why did he quit doing what he's supposed to do? Because he got weary in well-doing. He got weary. He got weary of a separated life. Come on, think about that. I don't have to paint you a whole picture up here, do I? We get weary in well-doing sometime. But the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. But he got weary of living a separated life. He got tired of not being able to go to the parties. He got tired of not being able to drink and live riotous. He got tired of having to crucify his flesh and the affections and lusts thereof. He got a little weary of all that. He's got to thinking, I've been too intense. I've lived too strictly. It's what's wrong with a little bit of relaxation. After all, I've lived for God a long time now. You ever known people like that? Start backing off, start slacking off, stop doing what they ought to do, and the next thing you know, they're gone. Next thing you know, you hear about them, and they're in trouble. They're divorced, or they're in jail, or a number of things. They've lost everything because they slacked off. Not saying that if you don't do those things, you won't lose everything at one time or another, because living for God's no guarantee that everything will go your way. Come on now. But you hear these stories, and so somebody said, I don't believe you can backslide. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I don't think you ought to, but I believe you can. I've seen it happen too many times. So he grew weary. Said, what's wrong with a little bit of relaxation? That's what people say sometimes. Why can't I enjoy a few of the pleasures of the world? Why can't I enjoy that? Do you ever feel that way sometimes? Everybody else gets to do everything, and I can't do nothing. Have you ever felt that way? Come on, I don't shake your head either way. Just stay stone faced. I really don't want to know, because don't draw attention to yourself. You know how I am. Anybody want to take me up on that? Come on, he got tired of this. Why can't I enjoy the pleasures of this world? Why can't I enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? It's just for a season. It's just for a short time, and then I'll come back to God. Right. What's that old saying? Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's what it'll do to you every single time. That is a true saying. It'll do it to you. So what happened to Samson? We see where he went down to the Valley of Zorek. He went down there, which was Philistine territory. There he found a prostitute, and he's laid with her. He spent the night with her, and the Philistines, of course, saw it. Isn't that Nazarite? Isn't that Samson, that one that's done us so much damage? Isn't that the one that's supposed to be that man of God? Come on, church, the world's watching you. They're watching you. They're paying attention to what you're doing. You may think you're getting away with it. First off, God's watching. You're not getting away with it. But secondly, the world that you're supposed to be witnessing to, they're watching you. And so they saw him, and he had spent the night with her. And the Bible says then, it says he went down to Gaza and he spent the night with a harlot. And then he, afterward, he went and seen this woman named Delilah, which was a fairly loose woman, apparently, because immediately they were shacking up, so to speak, living together. And they weren't staying in separate bedrooms, by the way. Can I just say that? Well, just go ahead and say it, Dennis. It's okay. There's a lot of people tell you that. Say, we're living together, but we're sleeping in separate bedrooms. Let me tell you this, son or daughter. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And that might work for a while, but it ain't going to work a long time. Come on now. Why'd you move in with her to start with? Why'd you move in him with to start with? There's got to be more than just, I want to share expenses. Some of you look at me like you don't know what you're talking about. I think I'm more right than I am wrong in that. So he moved in with her. She was pleasant to his eyes. You know Samson, he's a womanizer. He knows a good-looking woman when he sees one. He also has this spirit about him. He can tell a loose woman when he meets her. Well, preacher, you're getting a little bit... I'm trying to bring it down where you'll understand, church. We're in trouble. We're playing with the world. We're dilly-dallying with something we ought to stay away from. We're about to get ourselves in trouble. And God's trying to call us back to holiness. He's calling us back to righteousness, without which no man shall see God. He's calling us back. But he went down to this valley. He saw this prostitute, this woman Delilah. He started spending some time with her. The next morning he got up after he had had that one night stand with her. He got up and shook himself and realized, I still got my power. I can still do something for God. I still got my power. So his hair didn't fall out. The spirit didn't leave him. So, hey, this is all right. So evidently, he got to thinking, I can have forbidden pleasures and still keep my anointing. That's a lie number one that the devil will teach you. You can have forbidden pleasures and leave your sinful life and still have the anointing of God. It does not work that way. So he didn't worry about the safety of Israel. He didn't worry about the welfare of the widows and the orphans. He didn't worry about the job that God had born, he had been born for. He was conceived to deliver Israel. Read the story. He was born to deliver Israel. He didn't worry about that. Instead, he said this, I've done my time. I've led them long enough. I'm going to indulge myself just a little bit. Just a little bit. This is the same lie deceiving followers of Jesus Christ today. They tell themselves just a little pornography on the internet won't hurt me. Those R-rated movies won't take away my spiritual life. A little bit of cussing in that movie's not going to bother me. After all, I hear it out on the street and at work. A little bit of drinking I do, it's not going to affect me. I can smoke a joint once in a while. I can do some medicinal marijuana. It's not going to hurt nothing. We deceive ourselves, church. There's nothing wrong with a few pleasures of the world. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what he told himself. That's what the church and the world's telling us today. You can do just a little bit of that. Your preacher's too strict. Your church, your religion's too hard. I'm going to tell you something. It's not too hard to live for God. And it's a good life living for the Lord. And I'm glad Jesus found me one day. I'm glad he delivered me one day from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence of sin. I'm glad he set my feet up on a rock and he hides me in the cleft of that very same rock. I'm glad that I can approach sin and he'll deliver me out of temptation every single time I cry. That's Jesus. You see, Jesus, Samson, I should say, eased off from his separated life and the enemy was working behind the scenes. It might seem like you're getting away with it, but you're not. The enemy's working behind the scenes. The anointing of God has left you. The blessing of the Lord and the protection of God has been lifted. The Philistines urged Delilah, entice him. Find the secrets to his power so we can prevail upon him. Use your charms. Sleep with him some more. Do what you want with him, but get a secret. Do whatever you got to do. We'll give you silver. We'll pay you well. And I hadn't read it the way I read it a while ago, but there were several of them Philistine lords. I'd have to go back to read how many of them there were. They said, there were five of them. They said, we'll all give you 1,100 pieces of silver. That's why when I said a while ago, that's a lot of money. It just dawned on me. There's more than one. There's more than just one 1,100 pieces. There's five of them. That's 5,500 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money in those days. It's a lot of money today. I could spend $5,500 real quick, couldn't you? Well, I know you could. You see, find out about him. Samson's tragedy wasn't so much his fornication with Delilah, though that sin was grievous enough to disqualify him from God's service. Samson's tragedy that he no longer valued the Spirit's work in his life. He didn't value the things of God any longer. The presence of the Lord was no longer important to him. That once mighty man of God now took the Lord's blessings and power in his life completely for granted. Oh, church, we do that sometime. I'll do what I want. I'll go where when I come to church, the power of God's going to fall. And if I need healing, God will heal me. If I need a financial blessing, God's going to give it because I'm his. That's a false truth. You cannot mess with sin and have the blessings of God in your life. You may have it temporarily while God's trying to bring you around, but he's going to lift it. He's going to remove it from you. Rest assured, it's going to leave. You know the story. Samson awoke after a night of sinful indulgence, his head in Delilah's lap with his hair shorn off. He told himself, I've got away with it before. This ain't no big deal. I've done it before. This ain't no big deal. I'm cool today. No hair. Ain't no big deal. I'll just shake myself. Spirit of the Lord will come upon me. But what happened? It didn't happen. The Philistines closed in on Samson, and he found out he was as weak as a kitten. He couldn't do nothing. He probably clawed at them a little bit, but they clawed bigger because they grabbed hold of him and clawed his eyes out. Church, you can't mess with sin. He didn't realize the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And that's what happens to us when we do these things. All of a sudden, it's gone and we don't even realize it. We've played with it so long. We've been out there so long. We don't miss it until we realize it's gone. I want the Spirit of the Lord again. It's gone. What was really tragic is that the people of God went back into oppression by the Philistines. Samson missed his call. Samson didn't fulfill the work of the Lord in his life. You see, there's thousands of Christians, I dare say millions of Christians today, sitting in churches this morning that do not realize that the Spirit of the Lord has departed from them. They're attending, I won't say that, but there's lots of dead churches in the world today. The spirit of Delilah has succeeded in putting many in the church to sleep in her lap. All the while, their spiritual life and strength being drained from them. They're asleep. They don't realize it. Oh, they worshiped this morning. They clapped their hands, but they're asleep. Dead in the pew. Dead in the pew. I'm going to ask you, will Christ's church end up in the hands of the enemy, bound and captured by the devil? Is it going to live out its life, its days of bloated, prayerless, uncaring body of so-called believers? Is that how we're going to do here? Never. 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 We're going to wake up. See, our deliverer is not a mere man like Samson. Our deliverer is Jesus Christ. The Delilah spirit is no match for the Son of God. The living God. She's no match for Him, for Jesus Christ. The church, our church, is going to fall on its knees and bow before Him. I believe right now God is dealing with the spirit of Delilah in this church. I think conviction's all over this place this morning. I believe that. I didn't want to preach this until I had a full house. I didn't get my full house, but I felt like I still needed to preach it. If I can get this group fired up, full of the Holy Ghost, God's going to do something. God's going to do something. God's going to do something. I believe God has instructed the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to destroy the spirit of Delilah at Countryside. I believe He's going to chase out everybody that's been seduced by it, chase them down. He's going to chase down everybody that's been called by His name. He's going to deliver them if you'll just let Him. He's going to convict you and woo you and tell you He wants to give you another chance at His glory. He's telling us today he's telling us that this house of ease we've sneaked into, this house of enticement, has ruined many, and He's going to shake it to its foundation. The roof's caving in. It's coming down. I believe that today. There's going to be somebody going to grab hold of this word. Somebody's going to listen. Somebody's going to fall on their face before God. Somebody's going to do more than just fall physically, they're going to fall spiritually in the presence of the Lord. They're going to stop bringing their vain repetitions before Him. They're going to bring a true worship to God and present themselves a living sacrifice for His glory. Haggai 2, 6 and 7 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry ground, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." I need the glory of God in this place, don't you? This tabernacle. But more than this edifice, this place. Shake me, Lord. Fill me again with Your glory. Restore to us, God, what the locust has eaten. Once again, Lord, we need You. There's going to be a shaking, church. We're in the end times. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. That means there's going to be a great separation. And whatever cannot be shaken will remain. God's shaken the church. What's going to be the remaining part? People running back into the arms of Jesus. A church intensely on fire, on its knees, contrite, wide awake, and looking for Jesus to come. It will be a church that's turned away from all flirtation with sin and separated unto the Lord. A church with clean hands and pure hearts. I ask God to do, every time I pray, God created me a clean heart. Let me walk with pure hands. A church where the Holy Ghost is free to move in mighty ways. A church where nothing can hinder the flow and the glory of the Lord. And it's plain for everybody to see. But that's going to come through prayer. Supplication. It's going to come from dedicating your lives to Him. It's come after as God delivers us from the spirit of Delilah. And we separate ourselves unto Him again. We cannot afford to continue church as usual. We've got to pick it up. Take it to the next level. And that begins with you. That begins with me. God's going to do His part. I guarantee it. But He's looking for a people. Paul wrote it, said it like this in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Altars are open. Robbie, put on some quiet music. Just turn it on quietly.